from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster. We just had a first I was saying the name of one of the characters on this show. Later we're going to be talking about The Mandalorian. And I was trying to say it in a fun way just to get ready to record. And then I realized it sounded like a jingle, a two-word jingle from a 90s deodorant. And so a lot of you won't know the jingle or the deodorant. I don't know, the deodorant may still be around. But that's the kind of podcast you're tuning into. If you're new, this is a sleep podcast. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. But I'm here to keep you company because you deserve a good night's sleep, to take your mind off of stuff, because I've been there and a lot of other listeners have been there too. I just want to help. This show is not for everybody, but it does take a couple tries to get used to. So give it a few tries, see how it goes. If you already know the show isn't for you, or later you decide, sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you has other sleep podcasts and stuff on there. But I really hope I can help you fall asleep, because you deserve a good night's sleep. Your life will be better, right? And I know it's not easy in the deep, dark night. So I'm here to help, to keep you company so that you could drift off. Coming up are structurally what to expect. We've got support. That's how the podcast comes out, free twice a week. Then a long meandering intro, which is separate from the support, meant to ease you into bedtime. And then we'll be talking about The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 4, which is 16 plus 4, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20, holy. Probably could be Chapter 20. I had a couple things. It goes, I don't normally sing in the podcast, but it's early enough, and this isn't really singing. I said, by Grogu. And then I said, baby Grogu. Grogu. So tonight, that's just what's in my head. I said, okay, we're going to go downstairs. We're going to record the opening for, and I said, okay, well, I guess. And then Grogu popped in my head and I said, I'm Grogu. And I'm here to take your mind off stuff and keep you company. Thanks so much for coming by. And these sponsors are what enable us to do this for free twice a week. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me, or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show, or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique, and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep, or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to both of those, like, how much is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for, they're all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D, the double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available. Relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. It is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone in the Deep Dark Night United. I forgot what was important about the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Somehow, thinking about the show and the future of the show and, getting in between my ears. And I got so much feedback on that survey on the sponsor page. And the majority of it was either people that aren't in a position to support the show or that just get so much out of the podcast. And that's what the Sleepy Supporter Zone was always about, is celebrating the people that take action so the show can be free for everybody. Because Sleep With Me is supported by direct action, either through people supporting the sponsors or supporting the show. And I totally forgot about that in all of my concerns around the podcast. So I apologize, and we'll get back to celebrating and the people that supported the sponsors and let the sponsors know about it. Let me know about it. For the time being, though, I'm thanking the people that took the time to give me that feedback and re-energize it. I guess I forgot to be excited about the Sleepy Supporter Zone. So the main thing is, if you do support a sponsor, Helix, Air Doctor, AquaTrue, ZocDoc, like, please let me know about it and let them know about it so I can thank you. Because this is what the Sleepy Supporter Zone is all about, is you taking action to support the show for everybody else and for you. And I want to thank some of those people, Krista, Kia, Rory, and Sebi. Thank you so much. So I'll probably rebrand this to Sleepy Supporter Zone, the Deep Dark Knight United. That's something I've had in my mind for a while because we do it together. That's what all the feedback reminded me. We're together in the Deep Dark Knight. Deep Dark Knight United. It does sound like a little bit like a little footballer thing. But thank you so much, everybody, who took the time to let me know what you get out of the show and how important keeping it free for everybody is. And realizing that's what it's really all about, those feelings. Like, the reason we do the Sleepy Supporter Zone is to give the people that did that, took action, good feels. So I hope if you heard your name or you took action, you know how much I appreciate it. And so many other people do. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, no, it's not. There's support for listeners. If you're in need right now, there's links you could take, like links you could connect with if you're having a tough time, including international resources. It's also about taking action to be a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying Stop AAPI Hate, not just saying Support Ukraine, but learning more and doing stuff. And there's links to resources where you could do that right in our show notes. And one of the things we're taking action on is building hygiene kits for people experiencing homelessness, supporting the Midnight Mission. You could do all those things at through our show notes, or you could learn more about the Midnight Mission just by Googling the Midnight Mission. Now, that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people work hard helping out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget you can get your sleep phones at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. Those are official Sleep With Me branded sleep phones with the Sleep With Me swag on there. Use Sleep With Me at checkout to get $5 off your order. And that's it. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. If it's thoughts, you know, things on your mind. So thoughts like thinking stuff, thoughts, feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally, like physical feelings, emotions, physical sensations related to, you know, stuff that's there. It could be changes in time, temperature, routine. You could be traveling. You could have a guest. You could be going through something. You could be anticipating something. Whatever it is, the only reason I go through that stuff is so you know you're not alone and that there's someone out there in the audience listening right now who can relate to how you feel, who's probably been through something similar. But a lot of us, myself included, we could probably relate to how it feels. Like, that's why I call it the Deep Dark Night. And not only do I want to help, and not only do I believe you deserve a good night's sleep, there's a lot of other people that you don't even know that can relate to how you feel that want something better for you. Because you deserve it. You do deserve a bedtime that'll make your life more manageable, a bedtime you don't have to dread, a bedtime you feel neutral about. And like that, like, cause I've been there. Like, that's the thing. I can relate to how it feels, but I've also been there dreading bedtime. Like, I'm dreading Sunday night on Friday evening and definitely afternoon on Saturday. Holy cow. And the thing is, if you get the rest you need, your life is going to be better. It'll be more manageable. And ideally, you could be out there flourishing. So that's really what I want. That's really what I'm here for. And like, I'm really like happy to be able to try to help or to make you feel less alone in the deep, dark night. So what I'll do here is I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. All to go off topic and like we're not on purpose. Unfortunately, I lean into it, but superfluous tangents and pointless meanders just mean that I go off topic and then I get mixed up. Then I try to remember what I was talking about. Then I say, wait a second, what was I talking about? And it's wild. What is it? Creaky dulcet tones. It just means my voice is not traditionally soothing. But really, I'm here to keep you company. This is a podcast you don't really listen to. You could listen to it at a low mumble. You could listen to me under a few pillows or blankets across the room, or you could listen to me up close. I'm here to help whether you're listening or not, but most people at first you find, oh, this is something you're going to forget about tomorrow. You don't need to remember, or I'm just out of focus, or you're pretending to listen. I mean, that's the most active version of sleep with me is at least initially. So, oh boy, Scoots. There Scoots goes talking about wondering what the difference once again between antiperspirant and deodorant is. And then Scoots will probably link it to Don Draper somehow. Be like, well, that's the kind of great idea Don Draper would come up with for those companies. He'd say, there was a show called Mad Men about the advertising. I don't know what era it was because my mind is so not reliable. We'll say the advertising business between the 50s and the 70s. I think it was the cusp of the 60s, right? I don't know. But Don Draper was like an idealized character who was like this advertising genius. Also devastatingly handsome and charming and seemed really cool. But Don Draper would always come up with these great ideas. Again, one part of my brain wants to point out to me that Don Draper's fictional, but most of my value system's based on fictional characters. I mean, what can I do? I say, you know, I don't even say WWDD because I know I'm no Don Draper. Another thing, my nana would say, you know, don't even worry. She says, I don't even know Don Draper, but you're no Don Draper. More drip Draper. And I'd say, thanks, Nana. What about Don Dripper? She says, probably. But Don Draper would come up to that. He'd be like, okay, so we have a new deodorant client coming in. You may be thinking, I thought I tuned in for a sleep podcast. Is this a Mad Men rewatch? No, just more of a Mad Men speculative tangent show. But Don Draper would say, okay, so we've got a new, okay, well, yeah, so deodorant, you know, we've got whatever, five companies making deodorant, makes you smell better. You've tried aerosols, you tried those roller balls. But what is really the issue here? Sweat, perspiring. And we've decided, and they said, but no one wants to hear about sweat, Don. Oh, I know. This is why I'm unveiling our new campaign. It's Peggy's idea, actually. And, you know, then I plussed it, but it's called antiperspirant. And is this something everybody, maybe it was like, there would be like a sequence where Peggy was looking out the window at some protesters saying they're anti-something. And then her and Don talk about it later. I don't know, something like that. So, this is a sleep podcast that you don't really listen to. Obviously, you say, hon, what was Scoots talking about last night? Was he talking about his favorite appearance? No, he, like, I don't know. Was he talking about Peggy Sue? No, I don't think so. Was he talking about orange juice again? No, oh no, but I think he was, like, he was talking about drapery. I think he was talking about deodorant for drapery. I can't remember. I just slept so good. So that's how the show works. So you don't really listen to me say, I don't know what you're talking about, Scoots, but okay. So you just barely listen to me. Also, the show doesn't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, not to put you to sleep, to be your friend in the deep, dark night, to be your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar burr, to keep, take your mind off stuff, to be here for you while you fall asleep. Like, there's no pressure to fall asleep. That's why the shows are over an hour. Because you have plenty of time. I'll be here and you could listen to episode after episode after episode. There's people listening who can't sleep or that need a break during the day. And I'm here for them and I'm here for you. Whether you're listening or not, I'm here to tell you a story and talk about The Mandalorian. Eventually, yes, eventually, Nana. Eventually we'll talk about The Mandalorian. Barely. You're right, Nana. So right. But yeah, a lot of times I'll go off topic and you get mixed up. Because that's what works. And if you're here and you're doubtful or you're skeptical or you're like, what is this show? That's a sensible way to get to this podcast. This podcast contains very little sensible things. And if you're like me and a lot of other listeners, you probably tried a bunch of other stuff. You've probably gotten a ton of advice about why you can't sleep or what you should do. Maybe you spent a lot of money on different things. Or maybe you're just like, tonight I got to get some sleep, and you're searching, or somebody told you about this show. So if you get here frustrated, I understand it. And then if you're even more frustrated when you get here, that makes sense too, because this show does not follow a traditional format. And the real reason I made the show was because I had tried other sleep stuff. And I said, how come there's not something that's like a friend, that's like a strange friend that's just going to talk to me? Like, why does everything have to have this layer to it, and I can't even describe the layer. And it's like, I don't need any kind of performance pressure at bedtime, even if it's like, can you imagine the starry sky? Oh no, I can't. Listen to the soothing sound of the crickets. And I'd be like, well, normally the crickets would soothe me, but since you said that, I'm supposed to listen to, well, when I, if I have to listen to them, it's not soothing. That's kind of like work. Also, usually I'm more, but yeah, that's why I started making this show, 2013. And what was my point even? Don't listen. But at first when you get here, you're going to, this show, it can be very disorienting. You're like, I thought this was going to be relaxing. Or when does the sleepy stuff start? And a lot of regular listeners are kind of guffawing because they say, oh, it already started. It's already been brought in. And it's been brought in nowhere. Scoots is always bringing nothing. for sure. And so give the show a few tries. I guess that's what I was saying. Like, I think I've heard from a million people that said, hey, I didn't like the podcast or it didn't work on the first couple of tries. Oh, and then I realized, oh, it's always never working. He was serious when he said it's always never been brought in. And he's always never bringing it. But it's in that sense, it's being brought. But it's been brung. It's already been brung. So I don't need to brought it. If you're confused, so am I. So that's that. A show you don't listen to, no pressure to fall asleep. You don't like it on your first try. Structurally, it's very different too. And the reason it's structured the way it is just to benefit the most amount of people. So it starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, so you feel seen and welcomed in. And it gives you a kind of sense that I'm a little bit different and strange. You say, oh, okay. That person remembers jingles I've never heard. He likes to make jingles with Grogu's name. So there's that part. Then there's support. So the show could just come out free twice a week. and the support makes that possible. Then there's an intro, which is separate from the support. And I just want to point that out because sometimes when people don't like the support part, they lump the intro in with it and they say, oh, it's like 30 minutes of ads. But the intro is separate from the support. It goes for like about 20 minutes or so. And it's a show within a show meant to ease you into bedtime, to introduce the podcast in a different way every single time, over 1,200 times, I think. But so that you, it's familiar if you're a regular listener, but it's also just kind of creating a buffer between like getting ready for bed and getting in bed, or it can be part of your wind down routine. So that's the intro. And then between the intro and the story support, and then we'll talk about The Mandalorian. And if you've never seen the show, that's fine. Well, believe me, it's got so much cute stuff in there, including the cutest game of paintball ever, not even paintball. Wrist painting or something. I don't know. So that's the structure of the show. That's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. Really, like, I really hope I can help you because I've been there. And if you're listening now and you already know this isn't the podcast for you, there is a website, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. It has other sleepy stuff on there and stuff like that. You could check that out. But give the show a few tries, see how it goes. I'm glad you're here. I work really hard at your night of strive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks for coming by. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, Scoots here. We're here with another episode of the Mandalorian on Mandalorian. And I'm just trying to find, as usual, I'm only semi-prepared. It's just because we share an iPad around these parts. But now I'm having trouble typing it in. Load up the old plus, as they say, like I always say, but no one says it. Get on that plus. I think people do say it, but not giggling because it just sounds so. Sounds, you know, for a company that espouses synergy, I mean, well, let's not get into the synergy. I mean, I'm not even, I'm just saying, because eventually I will have, probably have some of the snacks from last episode around, but, that's not the episode we want. Slow down. I was trying to delete that download. Okay, that, no, we don't need that download. Dismiss. Remove download. Thank you. Okay, so this is downloading, The Foundling, Chapter 20, Season 3, Episode 4, Chapter 20, The Foundling. Once again, another layered title, and I've listened, like, this series hasn't started coming out yet when I'm recording these. You know, I try to get ideally there's 8 episodes done before they come out. That won't be the case with Mandalorian, but I do have another series, like a bunch of episodes in the hopper there. But I was listening to the Apostate, and I said, it may be wrong. My speculations may be wrong. But I don't know. This episode definitely sets some things in that could be. I mean, that's the beauty of this show, or well done shows like this, is things have been set in motion. But we don't necessarily know where the motion, you know, which direction they'll end up going. And the Foundling definitely has. So I said, okay, the Apostate probably does have more than one meaning. The Convert definitely probably has, well, maybe not on the, oh no, yeah, two. We have 2 converts, possibly 3 in the episode, The Convert. The Foundling definitely. I mean, there's a bunch of foundlings there, but there's 2 that are in the course of the story. And then put something on it. Not a ring on it, but kind of 3 rings on it for fun. And I don't know, the phrase return to your roots just popped in my head. But I was thinking the Mines of Mandalore, that's like when I listen and I go back, I say, oh, that was a missed tangent. But I didn't know what other episodes of the season would be called at that point, because I could have searched for more than one mine of Mandalore, right? And I mean, they're mining I guess it's multiple. But they only go, below, the living waters are below the mines of Mandalore. I don't know. So, okay, yeah, let's get this going, huh? All right, subtitles are on. One of the interesting things that I think it's the plus that when you're logged in, again, I'm not positive of this, but I want to compliment it, but it could be another app. And I don't know if I like it or not, but I do say that's a good feature, is when you turn on closed captioning on one device and then you go to a different device, the closed captioning's on. And I say that's a thoughtful feature. Actually, believe it or not, as speaking of ill-prepared, I have the wrong notebook here. I have the notebook for Make Great Pets, episode 9. Let's see, we'll just look. This is, you know, we've got time. Episode 11 and episode 9. Maybe those are the only 2. That's almost a whole notebook, eh? But yeah, that's episode 11, Ant Farm. And episode 9 is still pending. I'm recording that tomorrow. All right, we'll be back here. I mean, you won't notice a difference, but I'm going to go get my notebook and be back. It's funny because my notebook is green, so I don't. And the Make Great Pets episode was like a paper color. What do you call that? Not brown, but that I don't know. I guess it's a light brown paper. Also, this episode is directed by Carl Weathers, you know, I didn't find that out till the end of the first watch, and then I didn't remember it again. But so I just think that is cool, and it's really revealing about Carl Weathers, because this is a very, the episode does have, well, it has a couple different, you have to look back at what other episodes Carl Weathers has directed, but just thinking about the threads in this episode, Yeah. So anyway, this episode's called The Foundling, and it opens with a flashback, and yeah, it started. We got the little Disney Plus original. And the recap, I swear on my name and the name of my ancestors. This is The Foundling from episode one. I swear on my name and the name of the ancestors. I shall walk the way of the Mandalore. And then the Mandalorian saying it as he goes and takes a bath. Then they say Din Djarin says he's got the living waters. We see the Mythosaur. Din Djarin, you're redeemed. Bo-Katan Kryze, you're also redeemed. I don't walk away. Did you bathe in the waters to take your helmet off? Welcome here. You may join our covert, Bo-Katan of Clan Kryze. You're one of us. Kryze? Get the back padding. And then we get the Lucasfilm Limited and the Disney, whatever it's called, Star Wars thingamajigs. And yeah, then what else we got? Oh, so it opens with like, we get great views, mountains, whatever this planet is they're laying low on. And there's drills going on. Really beautiful shots. Water, vistas, scrub. And then all sorts of drills. There's more Mandalores than we knew. So this shows there's a large number of Mandalorians there. I mean, I'd put it at maybe high, like double digits, maybe triple digits at various ages. They're all doing different practice. They're staying in practice, and Bo-Katan's walking through looking around. And we get the sense of, I don't know, I get the sense, where's this going? And so just a fun little sequence of practice, kind of like sports practices, like Bo-Katan is kind of observing. And then a great flip you on your head sequence that gives you a little bit of laughs, especially on a rewatch. And it did take me the rewatch to figure this out. I did not figure it out on the first one. But we have, and so I won't spoil it for you, but it seems like Baby Grogu's working on force practice. But one of the things is a crab. And then his papa comes and says, put the rocks down, kid. It's time you learn with the other foundlings. You say, what, papa? And then he says, do I have to be the only foundling that gets carried? I mean, Grogu likes it. And then we get more comedy, a comedy reveal, or maybe not it's comedy reveal, but it's just a nice reveal. And we see all the foundlings practicing, and Mandalorian says, next challenger. And Grogu makes a couple sounds, and the kids are like I guess they're like middle schoolers. So Grogu is not even up to the kid's knee, but like he's only halfway up to each other kid's knees. And I guess I got to rewind it for the dialogue, because even Grogu's like, looks at the kid, who's the foundling from episode one, like, really, he's the next challenger. Bo-Katan says, dude, like, are you sure about this? He goes, he's going to go from foundling to apprentice. He's got to learn. And then he calls over he calls this guy, Judge, get over here. He challenges, too small. I'm his ward. Proceed, override. Grogu goes, no override. What do you want him to do? And he goes, wrist paintball. Okay, get the paintball, the wrist paintball things. The other kid is the foundling who would call the rescue kid, because this is the second time. This kid must have like a unique odor to him. I mean, I'm not even being insulting. Like, he must have a unique odor signature, because these beings on the planet love this kid. Like, some people say with skeeters, and I'm particularly one of those people. So I'm not sure if it's our humidity or our scent, or it's just our projection that we like feel this way. but that we attract more skeeters to kiss us with their loving embrace than other people. And if you did a study, this kid, I mean, he's 2 for 2. And in some sense, 3 for 3, if you really think about if his scent lingers. You know, like kind of like a dog can smell stuff. I'm not talking about an overwhelming smell, like more of his essence. But he's got his arms crossed. And they, like, this is a good sequence, too. He says, because that kid doesn't even have a helmet. Yeah. He's too young to speak to Creed, so he can't wear a helmet. And he's too young to deal with me, man. And Grogu says, you're right. Mandalorian says, one does not speak unless one knows. Isn't that the Creed? Is that what it is? Let me rewatch it again. He's too young to fight. He's too young to dance. One does not speak unless one knows. Is that not the Creed? The kid says, well, I know. And then the Mandalorian says, perhaps this is a lesson for you then. So again, pretty open-minded, but assertive, everybody in the world of Mandalorians. They let people learn their own thing. Say, this is a creed, but we'll see. And the Mandalorian's also very confident in Grogu. And then we see Bo-Katan's caring side. Because she sets him up. She goes, my dad was the same way. He's just proud of you. You're going to do great. And Grogu goes, okay, what am I into? And so they each have 3 paintballs that they shoot out of the wrist, kind of like web slingers. And each hits 1 point, but it's got to be visible. High score wins. They don't say what they would do in case of a tie. And Mandalorian says, squeeze your wrist to launch him. Bo-Katan goes, he's never done this before? He goes, he's got this, trust me. So then there's a little showdown. Paintball 1 to a kid rescue. He gets paintball 1. Grogu looks back at him, says, don't look at me, look at him. Says, ready, paintball 2. And then Mandalorian says, I've seen what you can do, Grogu. Focus. Come on. Show him. It's okay. You can be yourself. I mean, that's really the message. And Grogu goes, okay. And they say, okay, ready, get set. Grogu does a double flip and then triple shot. And also, I noticed his ears were in different levels when he was getting ready to do that. And Bo-Katan goes, did you teach him that? Not me. And then the other Mandalorian who's on their case, he says to the kid, one does not speak unless one knows, dude. Then the kid goes off by the water. Here's the thing. If you're at that covert and you're a kid, don't go down to the edge of the water by yourself. And a big bird comes, thinks it's like one of its foundlings, a bird foundling. And picks him up in a loving embrace and says, let's go back to the nest, honey poo. And I guess this is something probably from like Warner Brothers cartoons, but in the world of Mandalorian, they say, you can't do that. This isn't a Warner Brothers cartoon. So 4 Mandalorians go after this big bird, follow it through these canyons. And the Mandalorian, and then I think it seems Riz Vala or Piz Vala. He follows. He runs out of gas, or somebody runs out of gas first, then Piz Vala or Riz Vala. I'll figure out his name. Don't worry. Maybe I won't, because a lot of times it has their name. Then the Mandalorian runs out of gas with him. Paz something. He says, we ran out of gas. It always gets away. But then we see Bo-Katan's ship following the bird. He says, my ship's got plenty of gas, so don't worry. Then we go to the title scene, The Mandalorian, and chapter 20, The Foundling. And hey, let's pause it and look up what foundling means. About that, right? Okay, we don't want to do that here. Let's see. Okay, so from the Oxford thing, you know, I'm going to give you basics, but cared for by others. Yeah, so, oh, what's the difference between foundling? Oh, many characters in literature are foundlings. Oedipus, Superman are two famous foundlings. Oh, that's like Superman. Yeah, they said, hey, I found you, and now we're going to take good care of you. So, yeah, I guess so. Then let's see the Wikipedia. I mean, I think it has the same basic thing. When the Mandalorian was the Mandalorian was an actual foundling. Now, it's interesting, though, because this, but it's also a term. Because Kid Rescue, I don't know everything about Mandalorian culture, but Kid Rescue doesn't seem to be a technical founding. But yeah, it's a term used by Mandalorian culture for children who are adopted by people of the Mandalore. That's from StarWars.fandom.com. So, yeah, okay. So, we get a great shot here, 7 minutes, 53 seconds. We get a lot of quality jet trails in this. And this one, like, kind of shows daytime. We get these mountainous desert mountain vibes, painted desert style. And Bo-Katan's ship is streaking across the sky with a cool jet trail. And then back at the covert, and they go out. It says, yeah, I kept a high altitude, followed the bird, know where the bird is. We'll just get together and we'll muster things up and go find the kid. And she has a 3D map. She says, see these tall things, a great place for a giant bird's nest in this case, long ways away. Bo-Katan says, I'll get him. Paz says, it's pretty high. Can't use jetpacks. And this is an important one. I did want to look this one up. So Bo-Katan says, they say, yeah, no jetpacks. We're going to have to sneak up there. Bo-Katan says, these are no higher than the peaks of Crime Morat. While I'm at the Star Wars fandom site, let's look this up. It's K-Y-R-I. Kiri Morat. Or something. This is in Under the Legends, Northern Hemisphere Mandalore, 21 BBY. I don't know what that means. And that was a stronghold, Northern Hemisphere of the Outer Rim world of Mandalore, where a dwelling was there. And it was from the Skirata clan. And a refuge for any clone trooper or commando who wished to desert the Grand Army of the Republic during the Clone Wars. So this is good information. Following the rise of the Galactic Empire and the Jedi, the thing, Order 66, which we'll get into. We could go into that right now. They took clone deserters from the new Imperial Army, as well as a small number of refuge Jedi who wanted to avoid the Empire. And it's in the forests, fringed by trees, wide lake, trading post town nearby, main building was circular, submerged in the ground, grass roof, gave a camouflage from the air, narrow windows, wood panels. This is seriously detailed. Number of redoubts. Had a big central room, main living room, armory. Obviously, you need an armor. Fully stocked kitchen, dining area. Everything you'd need. Designed to be secluded and hidden. Possessed a hangar to store ships. It was mostly self-sufficient, growing most of its food. But in the early weeks of the Galactic Empire's reign, it was not enough, and they had to purchase supplies from the outside. And history-wise, yeah, construction began in 21 BBY. Skiriata. And let's see, I'm just trying to skip. So I guess this is in a couple different books and stuff. Trying to think. Okay, then after 66, there was the 501st Legion trying to deal with stuff. Somebody came and hit it out there. And as a republic transformed into the Galactic Empire under Palpatine, they welcomed former clone commanders. I don't see anything about behind the scenes. Maybe this is so fresh. It doesn't even have any references in Mandalorian yet. But let's do Order 66 now, just so I have this open, if I could find it. Because there's going to be this sequence coming soon with Grogu. And while we're doing research, might as well do some research coming up. Okay, Order 66. Now this, okay, so I do have a little small tangent about this. So this happened in the third Clone Protocol 66. It was a contingency order for the clone troopers of the Republic that they had to obey without question. And it said that all Jedis were not friends of the Republic, and they need to become Force members of the Force, ethereal Force only, in another, you know, dimension. That's Palpatine's plan. And so that was like, they said, because like, Palpatine obviously didn't want to have to deal with any Jedi. And initially, all we knew was that Obi-Wan and Yoda and were the only Jedis around, and they were hiding out. And then Luke and Leia were Force-sensitive. And there's a lot here, but I was just trying to think what else we need to know. So but we see some of this play out later in the episode, which is surprising. Oh, but I guess, like, when, I don't know when I had heard about this Order 66, but it was like, I had thought, like, just Darth Vader. I thought it, like, wasn't, so in the movie and in all the stuff that's written about it, it was just something that happened. It was coordinated across the universe or whatever at one time to say, okay, let's take all the Jedi. They don't work for us anymore. And we'll ask them to retire. And that was successful. It was led by Palpatine and Darth Vader, or former, whatever his name is, Anakin Skywalker. I guess he wasn't Darth Vader yet. But I saw it, like, before, leading up to these movies, or maybe during when the first three, the prequels came out, I kind of imagined it, like, almost like a Darth Vader show, or that would be the last movie or another movie, where it was just Darth Vader and a team of other heavies, like, going around and helping Jedis retire and saying, hey, let me help you get set up here on an off-world here with some nice stuff. Like, I thought that would be interesting, but that was just my fantasy. I didn't know anything about Star Wars history or anything, but I was like, oh, that would be cool to watch. Not enjoyable, but anyway, so that's not what happened. And I didn't see, and I don't know a lot about this because I didn't see the Obi-Wan show. So, I mean, at some point I'll probably watch it. Okay, so anyway, they're going through the planning. Let's get back to the episode, huh? And talking the foothills, we're going to climb up just like I used to at this other place. Paz and Shrek Hawk, the training team will go with you, and the Mandalorian. We'll get some lariats. We have to keep quiet. You know, birds can hear stuff. Then Grogu watches them take off, and the armorer says, yeah, you can't go with them. You're too young. And there's much work to do, though. Come with me, Grogu. All in good time. Come, Grogu. If you wish to become a Mandalorian, there's much work to attend to. So this is new stuff, this whole episode, this part of the Foundling. So Grogu follows the armorer into the armory. And we actually get some POV Grogu shots. Grogu's looking around. The armor's at the forge. And it's basically like, I have a seat, it's time to talk in metaphor and directly. So she starts heating up a bowl of metal. Grogu sits down at a table, which obviously is prepared because it's the right height, the chair. Says, this is the forge. It's time for not just a metaphor, but part of it, the heart of Mandalorian culture, where we shape Mandalorian steel, we shape ourselves as we do that. Or that's your metaphor, Scoots. Grogu watches. We begin as raw ore. Oh boy, I've been raw as ore before. And then we refine ourselves through trial and adversity. Isn't that the truth? Grogu's watching. Grogu's ears are moving. And then we go to the thing with the pound stuff and checking out a breastplate and stuff. And the forge can reveal things as it pounds, reveal weaknesses. This is the part where they hammer, the hammering part of metalsmithing. So the hammering begins. Grogu's ears are moving. Grogu looks down and then has a flashback to the Jedi Temple. This whole Order 66 playing out, ends up Grogu was a part of it. And there's lightsabers. There's four different ones. I'm not sure if these are Jedi. I guess these are Jedi, but they're outnumbered. They're trying to help everybody get away, but there's like clone troopers everywhere. Grogu is in his floating pram already, or a different one, and gets on an elevator, gets there. Grogu's holding a blankie. So even younger than, I don't know, I guess I get the timeline mixed up. I meant to look that up, but I don't know if we will. But Grogu goes down, and then a Jedi's waiting for him. He says, everything's going to be all right, kid. He grabs, so he goes double saber. I think this is Kellen Beck, but then more troopers come. First, it's four on one, but it's a Jedi. So he doesn't have too much trouble with those four. And they have like a speeder bike with a sidecar. So he's like, get in, Grogu. And then more troopers start coming. But again, it's like three or four more. He's pretty skilled. Then another group comes, maybe five or six or seven. So he says, let's bail. They take off on the speeder bike. We see the Jedi Temple's not doing great. We're on Coruscant because we see the city, which was nice that we had last episode because we touch on some of the same locations. But there's like a clone ship in pursuit. Again, I think this guy's name is Kellen Beck. So that's just what I'm going to say because he's driving. He's trying to keep Grogu safe. But his, like, they've damaged the speeder bike. Luckily, they didn't separate the thing. And they go, they do diving. And then they even go through this, one of the tunnels the train went through. We see skyscrapers. We see a platform. And maybe even the same train station. Because they go through. And Grogu goes in and out of hiding in his, like, sealed up capsule. And he's even like, what are you doing, man? Like, you're doing a little like speed game. But the Jedi knows what he's doing. So he goes through a train station. They lose the Jedi ship. We see Mount Lollipop or whatever in the square. And then he takes off. This happened. This must be during. Before the in between the first three movies, oh, at the end of the first three movies, movie three, Rise of the Sith, right? Okay, then they land at a platform with a ship on it. And again, I've been reading. I was like, is that the Heart of Gold? Like, it just reminded, even though it's silver, there's this sweet ship there. And they go, how many others you got? And they go, no others. Then more clones show up. So he meets up with this other team, the Jedi, and they say, hey, you take the kid and go. So they get in this super sweet silver ship, and they get ready to take off. Then there's more clone-like TIE fighter-type things. They come in. They take off. So then we have a little pursuit. Grogu's like, oh boy, we leave the atmosphere, which is amazing. I don't know if somebody on the show is like a fan of aircraft because it really gets some cool stuff. and they go into hyperspace, and then Grogu's kind of in two places at once, going from that event to hyperspace, ears down, to back to the forge flashing. Now there's actual hammering going on with the armorer. So she's actually hammering stuff out and then putting in water and sealing or sizzling and doing some whatever fusing. It says ancient tradition, you know, you donate a small portion of what you earn to your foundlings, Beskar. Those scraps of Beskar I use to form your next piece of armor. And she presents, she's got this round thing. It's got some sort of microchips in it. And she goes, Mandalorian steel will help you keep you stronger. This rondel, I guess I got to look that up. But she puts it on his chest. It's a round thing. And he already has on like chainmail or something. Yeah, it looks like he has a chainmail or some sort of vest. Then we get Bo-Katan's ship coming into land at the kind of rally point or wherever they're planning on stuff. Ship lands, everybody comes out. I'm trying to think of the order here. I thought the order was interesting. Oh yeah, Bo-Katan's in the lead. Clearly the leader. Then Viz, Mando, and the rest of the team. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven Mandalorians total. Not jumping on the bed, though. Seven Mandalorians jumping on the bed. One fell off and almost lost their helmet, so they had to go leave the bed and put it on. Then it's evening. They find an area to camp in. They say, yeah, let's get to it in the morning. This is a good spot to hang for the night. They even look up the tower they're going to have to climb, Rock Tower. Bo-Katan even has a 3D map. It's up there under, we'll hide out down here, sleep, climb at first light. All right, let's Paz. Oh, it's Paz, not Piz or Viz. Paz says, let's make camp. Then we go to a campfire. There's starry sky with a moon. They're sitting around the campfire. Somebody was making dinner, though. And they start to hand out dinners, box dinners. And Bo-Katan asks the Mandalorian, how do you eat with everybody? And he goes, oh, no, everybody goes off on their own and eats by themselves. That way you can take your helmet off. Oh, okay. So I thought that asking questions is a great idea because I would have just taken my helmet off and been like, what? I got to eat, yo. And then Paz says, to Bo-Katan, you're the leader, so you get to eat by the fire. This is the way. And again, really good body performance because like I feel able to kind of show, I don't know, I just like the experience. Then Bo-Katan's helmet comes off. She looks around again to see if anybody can see. Starts eating thoughtfully. Then it's the next day. They're cleaning up a camp. They're all taking knee. She went over the plan. Okay, we'll just go up there. We'll get the kid and take off. No problems. So just like in the cartoons, we got to do it stealth. No jetpacks because it'll wake the bird up or call the bird back. And it is a bird's nest, so please be respectful of it. Then they do some rock climbing, which is handy when you have, I mean, it must be hard because the armor's not light and the other stuff they're carrying. So I don't know if they have mechanical assists. I can't remember. I think they do because the Mandalorian did, but they have those wrist ropes. And I guess, yeah, they must automatically retract. So they're all climbing and doing a good job. Picturesque. You get a couple shots of the background. It's like a Grand Canyon-esque area. And eventually, more climbing, more great views. I don't know what is digital and what's real, because, it looks great. I mean, just the time they took to have stuff in the background really adds to it. Something you wouldn't normally notice if it was missing, but you'd notice on some other level, I think. So anyway, then Bo-Katan's like, okay, let's keep it on the down low. We're getting close. There's still climbing. Even the color of the sky, I don't know. Maybe it's just that I get to make this podcast, so it helps me appreciate this stuff that I miss in normal life. But the clouds and stuff. Okay, so they get up. They see some leftover nesting materials. And they're in the, like, this giant bird's nest made, I mean, not sticks, but trunks almost. And they have to climb the bird's nest. We see one helmet that they borrowed, I guess. So this has happened before. The bird likes collecting armor, I guess. They say, let's find the kid. Mando does a thermal scan. Says, okay, I see something over there. Must be the kid. So then the dude passes. It's my son. So I'm running. They say, hold on, man. He starts yelling, Ragnar, Ragnar, Ragnar. Where are you? It ends up it's baby birds. And they are literally like, hey, do you have any worms, man? Then the mom comes and the mama bird is there. And luckily for the, and then Riz or Paz, he tries to hide under some sticks. She coughs up, she's been held, Ragnar in his warm embrace. She says, here's a toy for your, and we didn't realize this, but it's like a toy for the kids to play with. But then, the dad makes a move, makes a bird fly away with the kid and him. So she's holding on to both of them now. He tries to get away. It doesn't work. Bo-Katan almost rescues the kid, but she gets winged, hit by a wing, and she starts to fall. One of her shoulder pads falls off, her shoulder protectors. She recovers her balance. Obviously, now we're on ticking clock as far as how long their gas is going to last. Mando, they start shooting like kind of ropes or web slinger stuff at the bird, trying to slow it down. And eventually Bo-Katan gets close and holds on and tries to get the dad free, which she does. She says, hey, let the dad go. So he does, he just manages to land and he's out of gas, physically out of gas. I don't know about his jetpack gas. Then everybody, there's other Mandalorians helping. They're all trying. And then the Mandalorian, he makes this move with, like, first he shoots a web slinger, slows the bird down. Then he goes, like, a cannonball to help the kid and catches the kid and flies him back to his dad. But he does this cannonball move, which is interesting. And then we get the bird lands. And then the turtle is there because the turtle's like, you smell like that kid I wanted to kiss. Because she wanted to see what flavor he was. So then those two go and hang out. And Mando brings the kid back to Paz. Is that his name? Ragnar and Paz? Yeah, Paz. And he says, thanks. And the Mandalorian says, this is the way. And the Paz says, this is the way. Paz, and Ragnar. Okay, then we return to the covert in Bo-Katan's ship. And this is a fake ending almost, because you think the joke is it's kind of a joke. I'm sure it'll pay off. The ship door opens up. All the Mandalorians and Grogu and the armor gather around. And the first people off are Paz and Ragnar, and everybody starts cheering, and they do a forearm metal clap. Grogu's ears go up like, where's my papa? They do some handshakes. Then the Mandalorian and Bo-Katan come off. And the Mandalorian, first thing he does is pick his kid up. He goes, Dad, I'm trying to be a foundling, man. And then the armorer goes, Bo-Katan, great work. It's the highest honor of the creed to get a foundling from a bird's nest. Bo-Katan says, this is the way. This is the way. By the way, I got three more foundlings in need of care. And they bring the baby birds. And by the way, these are giant baby birds. So I'm sure they will. Oh, hatchlings are called. It's very comedic and cute and interesting, because you say, that's nice of them. And they are actually foundlings. So we get a triple foundling. Well, three more foundlings that could be powerful. And then the armorer says, by the way, it looks like your thing's missing. Let's fix it. I can't replace it with the modern refinements. You want it with the signet of the Night Owl? Bo-Katan stares and she says, would it be acceptable to wear one pauldron of the Night Owl and one with the Mythosaur? And Mythosaur belongs to all Mandalorians, they say, so it's always acceptable to wear. I'd like that, Bo-Katan says. And the armorer goes to work. We get, you know, thinking shots, working shots, and, you know, armor shots. Don't think we're going to put it. I don't know if we do. We get a pauldron or like a decorative mythosaur on there. But we don't. I don't know if we got, what do you call that stuff? Primer or how many layers of paint? I mean, but if it's Beskar, maybe that's like totally. And, oh, so then Bo-Katan says, by the way, have you ever seen a mythosaur? What would you say if I saw one? You saw what? Mythosaur. Oh, in a dream? Yeah, it's a good dream to have. I'd say you're lucky. A vision of a mythosaur is always good. No. I saw an actual mythosaur, in the deep waters, the living waters, the bath waters. When you choose to walk the way of the Mandalore, you will see many things. And Bo-Katan looks up, but it was real. The armorer says, this is the way. And then Bo-Katan turns to the camera and then looks at the Mythosaur idol. And then it cuts to our pictures directed by Carl Weathers. The first one is a very green Grogu with the crabs, very happy and cute. Then the Grogu, at dart practice. Then the bird up on a tower, everybody pointing at it. There's a big bird. Then the bird coming in saying, that kid smells great. I don't know why. Then we have Grogu and some Jedi versus clone troopers. There's 13. Then we have the Jedi Temple, and they're having a bonfire there. Then we have the getaway in the speeder bike with a sidecar. Different speeder bike, though, more modern. Then we have the landing platform with the Heart of Silver ship. Since it's not gold, even though I don't know if the Heart of Gold was gold. Then we have them, we have them getting away in actual outer space. Then we have sunset with the Mandalorians walking in the mountains. Then we have the campfire, and everybody sitting around the campfire. Then we have the Mandalorians telling the bird, like, hey, let's, can we get this kid back? Not a toy for your children. Then we have the bird foundlings or hatchling foundlings. And then that's it. That's the end of the episode. Well, let's see. Let me look up. What was I going to look up? Well, you know what the biggest question is? Timeline of Mandalorian. Timeline. Oh, I must have Googled it before. Let's see, what do we get? USA Today, Games Radar, Popverse, Nerdist, The Direct. I may have already tried to answer this this season. Okay, this one is from Star Wars News Net. So let's try to get this one. John Favreau tries to clarify Mandalorian Book of Boba Fett timelines. Oh, I guess this one is says it's more confusing, so that's not going to help us. Okay, we're finding something. Here's Den of Geek. Okay, Den of Geek. When does the Mandalorian timeline take place on the Star Wars timeline? This is by Brianna Ahrens, March 16th, 2023. Okay, The Mandalorian introduces characters like Bo-Katan, Ahsoka, and Luke Skywalker, and expands itself through its spinoffs. things could get more confusing. Fortunately, there are some simple answers. The first season of Mandalorian is officially set 5 years after Return of the Jedi. So that's 9 ABY. 9 years after the Battle of Yavin and A New Hope. Battle of Yavin. I don't know. There's also a helpful visual guide. That's not helpful because it's just... at that point, at this point in the timeline, the Empire has surrendered to the New Republic. And the successor government is formed by the Rebel Alliance a year after Jedi. And what's left of the Empire is still trying to rebuild or maintain its power in the Outer Rim. The New Republic's in charge of the galaxy. And we're about 30 years from this, away from the sequel trilogy. Oh, okay, that's with Rey and them. Huh, okay, so 30 years from that one. Means the New Republic, there's no First Order or anything. As far as what's happening with the Jedi at this point, as we learn, Leia tried to help them with training. Luke opens a school. Luke decides to open a school on the planet to teach a new generation of Jedi. Grogu becomes the Academy's first student at the end of Mandalorian Season 2. Luke also meets, that's not a part of it. That'll be part of another show. How much time has passed between seasons? Grogu returns to Din. It's less clear. Showrunner Favreau said, it's many years. I heard it was 5 years, so it was clarified from something like that. I don't know. But, so it's after Return of the Jedi, but before, I mean, that makes sense. That's where I thought it was, but let me see. I'm trying to think if, season 3 is happening at some point between 5 and 6 years after Return of the Jedi. There you go. That's the answer. That was the answer I was looking for. So, all right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. That's the end of this episode. We'll be back with more Mandalorian coverage or more sleepy stuff soon. Good night, everybody. All right. I want to thank everyone who's been sharing and spreading the word on Instagram. That's a huge free way to help the show out, is just to spread the word about the podcast, let other people know about your experience with it. So let's see, we got Sarah, thank you, thanks, and good night. Third Eye, thank you, thanks, and good night. Goat Shack, thank you, thanks, and good night. Emily, thank you, thanks, and good night. Mal, thanks, and good night. Brian, thank you, thanks, and good night. Maureen, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jake, thank you, thanks, and good night. Twin, thank you, thanks, and good night. Priya. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Semi-bold, long-time listener, thanks, and good night. Live joyfully, thank you, thanks, and good night. Lily, thank you, thanks, and good night. Georgia, thanks, and good night. Allie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Tony, thank you, thanks, and good night. 9976820. Oh no, that's an ad. I wondered why it was that. Teresa Bell, Spa, thanks, and good night. Melissa, thank you, thanks, and good night. Shelly, thanks, and good night. Queen, thanks, and good night. Rogan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Megan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sloth, thank you, thanks, and good night. Another ad. What else we got? Trace Bell Spa has been definitely posting a lot, and gets a lot of jokes to the podcast. They're on Bond Street in Brooklyn. Let me see, am I following them? I just started following them, so you could find them through my thing. If you're in Brooklyn, I think that's the end of our notifications there for now. But yeah, thanks everybody for spreading the word, supporting the show. You know, even if you do it one-on-one or you send a postcard or whatever it is, let me know about it so I can say thank you. Because I couldn't do it without listeners like you. Really appreciate it. And here's Scoots is a Talk You In, either Scoots or a Talk You In sponsor. That's what's helped us grow the archives over, it was 576. I can't even remember. I looked last week, but thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody. This is a week in review, or week or month in review, actually. This comes at the end of Sleep With Me. And I think from now on, I'll just put it in the bonus feed of Sleep With Me Plus, unless there's like an update that's pressing. So if you're on Sleep With Me Plus, make sure, you know, you can do everything from the main page at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you log in, once you go to that page, you'll have access to all of your podcasts from Sleep With Me Plus. You could change your payment method, change your membership, join the Discord. All that happens just on that one page. It's just two clicks to add your podcast, your podcast app. And depending on what tier you're on, you have access to three or four Sleep With Me Plus podcasts. So make sure to do that. That's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if you're listening to the free show, you may have heard me in other messages. We're really looking right now for 1% of listeners to support the show who listen to the free podcast on a regular basis. It'll change the trajectory of Sleep With Me for you and 99 other people. But you also get all the sweet stuff I'm going to talk about. I also encourage the Sleep With Me Plus listeners to have a dedicated podcast app just for Sleep With Me Plus content. And then keep your whatever podcast app you use for your daytime podcast and just try out a new app. There's tons of great free podcast apps out there. But yeah, I'm going to run through Sleep With Me Plus, what's come out in the past month. I'm going to start with the bonus episodes in the bonus feed. And looks like the last episode that came out was Tea With Bernie. That was April 27th. That's this new series that people really love. Welcome to Scooterville. And that's a postie special edition episode. Then we had a bonus episode, depending on what the Boar Friends and Boar Besties, where I talk about the video game Space Quest and play it. Then on April 13th, we had another Welcome to Scooterville episode, Underground Picnic Munch episode. So, and then a Fearless Flyer episode came out at the end of March. So a lot of cool stuff. May we'll have stuff, and then subscriber summer stuff coming out in the all intro and all night episode podcast for those people, Boar Friends and Boar Besties. We tested out like this new thing without theme music and got great feedback on that. So thank you everybody that upgraded to an annual pledge or took advantage of that thing we're doing. So yeah, we had all intros come out on May 2nd. An all night episode came out. That's all night. Wait, it comes out tonight, huh? Today's Thursday that I'm recording this. Yeah, so that comes out tonight, all night. TNG and cut new idea there if you listen to that. I think we have one or two more all night TNG episodes to do. Then we had a couple all intro episodes come out May 2nd, April 18th, April 11th was All Night Make Great Pets. And all night intro on April 3rd, March 20th, and Make Great Pets Part 1 on March 13th. Then the story only feed and in the ad free feed, both of those, we had Sushi Go board game unboxing came out last night. Our watch Bring It On part 2 came out on Sunday. And it wasn't until after these episodes were like that I learned that it was, not another teen movie, that the parody part from Bring It On. That the phrase that got stuck in my head is from, only took three different episodes about Bring It On for me to find out. Wasn't in any of the episodes of Bring It On. But a great time to reflect on Bring It On And I didn't realize that Kirsten Dunst would be like back in the spotlight in a cool way. So cool timing for that. Then we had Alba Salix, episode 3 came out, Fairy Cake Woods, Multiplex, Cuckoo for Cuckoo Clocks, episode 7. Our Matrix crossover with the Novelizers came out April 24th. April 21st was Birds and Buds, which was Alba Salix episode 2. I've been getting a lot of emails from people that really like the Alba Salix content. And again, yeah, and some people, not every episode's for everybody. And that's usually what happens is, for every 3 emails I get, that's somebody's favorite episode. I get one email, that was somebody's least favorite episode. That's just kind of the way it works with stuff. That's why we work so hard as a team to invest the time to be able to keep all this selection going and even adding on selections. But if you really believe in Alba Salix, we are paying them to use their content. So consider supporting the show. Or being like, okay, like let me become an annual supporter because that's going to enable us to do that. We're doing all 3 seasons of Alba Salix, so as we roll on from here. So Multiplex episode 6, bringing on part 1, and then bringing on intro, and then the bringing on intro. So that's everything we did in the past month or so. If you want to support the work we do here, consider supporting the show on Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you're not in a position to financially support the show, but you want to support the podcast, there's 2 great ways to do that. Check out our sponsors, test out a sponsor, test out a free trial, or refer people to the show. We just had 2 people across the 3 referral threshold, which gets them 3 months of ad-free and story-only podcasts. So consider doing that. Thanks so much.